She don't call me Tunchin no more, she call me babe. Oh, I don't give a fuck about these niggas all in my face, cause I'm in the club going up on a weekday. I got an off day tomorrow, I'm asleep late.
Let's go. Yes, sir. Welcome back to another episode of Off Day Tomorrow. I'm going to sleep late, but you know we're calling it Off Day Tomorrow for sure. Let's go. It shows Kevin 27 back up in a building. You already know we got another great episode today. And today, yo, the Marvel fans, we always eating, bro. We eating like Zeke Elliott back in the good old days. Man, we got the Marvel trailer for another Marvel video game. And this is Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra. And this is Captain America and Black Panther. And I have not seen this trailer at all. Okay. So I will be watching this for the first time with you guys. So let's go ahead and let's get into this.
They're combing the streets, searching house to house.
Oh, man, we got Howard Stark.
If they arrest you two, they will take you to their headquarters, and you will not return.
Yo, light up that exotic if you got it.
I'm more concerned with a 6-foot cat man who's got claws that can cut through vibranium alloy.
Sky Dance, new meteor.
By my count, that makes 2 super soldiers loose in Paris.
3, counting you.
And that's 2 too many.
Oh, he think he about to whoop the Black Panther?
Be there before the sun rises. Before the Germans, before that American. The Eye of Force has been found.
Yo, why you so light-skinned? This the Black Panther? She damn near look like a white man.
Be careful, stand Wasami.
When am I not?
He could have been a little darker.
It's better if I tackle this one alone.
You may encounter some obstacles.
That won't be a problem. Our cat friend is definitely here too. By the look of things, he's not very far ahead.
The American boy is right on your heels.
Who the hell are you?
Yo, this a video game?
If you wanted us dead, we'd be dead. So what do you want?
Is this how the video game gonna look? Bro, this damn... This shit looks real.
Stay out of my way!
Stand aside!
I do not take orders from anyone!
I don't have time for this.
Neither do I.
Huh? Yeah, that should look fire, man. So that's gonna be a video game, right? Yeah, it's a video game. Holy smoke. I'm not gonna lie, that was like trying to think of a better video game trailer that I've seen. That was well, this one for Spider-Man 2 was really good. But this one was, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. I'm digging this. I cannot wait to see this. And actually, I cannot wait to, like, I can't wait to see gameplay because, bro, that looked like a movie. That's why I was tripping. I'm like, wait, this is a video game, right? Because that looked amazing. The quality, oh, my God. That game looked like you need to get a new TV for it. Like, holy smokes. I'm in, like, wow. I'm just, my mind is blown. Like, Captain America, Black Panther, and mind you, been waiting on this, but to see it's coming through, yeah, man, that's a big deal. You know, me and my brother, man, me and my brother, we used to talk about this all the time. We were like, bro, where are the Marvel games? Like, and out of nowhere, man, all of these games start popping up. So what we are missing, yes, they got the Iron Man VR game, but I still think that we need an Iron Man, like, you know, third person game type thing like that, where you can still play first person as well and VR, but we need a real like game of Iron Man. So that's one for sure. And we're not talking about the one that was on PS2, because that game was fire as well. Like, I remember when the first Iron Man movie came out and the Iron Man game came out with it, bro. Levels to this shit. So yeah, man, that was my reaction to 1943 and the Rise of Hydra. And yeah, I think I love that they can just keep going back to that time period with, you know, Hydra for Captain America, and no one questions it, no one cares, because, you know, that's his origin story. So who cares? Like, let's keep doing it over and over again, you know. And I think it's going to be pretty sweet. And the fact that, you know, the Black Panther is going to be involved in the story just puts a cherry on top, a bow on top, like a happy ending. Shout out Robert Kraft. Like, come on, man. Like, a lot of this stuff is going to be, I think this game, I feel like the story is just going to carry so hard. I think the graphics and all that is going to be fire. But this story, it looked like it definitely has potential to be better than Spider-Man 2. But I don't think it will be, but I definitely think it has the potential to be better than Spider-Man 2, because it's the first video game, you know. And I think, I'm sure this isn't Captain America's first video game, but it's definitely his first video game on PS5. Or like even PS4, I don't know about PS3, but definitely not PS4 or PS5, because I would have copped. So, yeah, man, we are moving forward in the Marvel community, man. Shout out Marvel. All right, moving on. So let's talk about this. So X-Men 97 is getting a lot of praise, as it should be. And one person said, crazy how in two episodes, Marvel Studios and Disney Plus treated Cyclops with more respect than Fox did for the entirety of the X-Men film series. This show has cemented my belief that Marvel Studios will treat the X-Men well once they join the MCU. Totally agree. And they waste no time letting you know that Cyclops is the leader, but it shouldn't be a surprise if you actually watch the original X-Men series. Cyclops was the leader. Like, he, you know, it never, no time when I watched the full series, it never felt like Wolverine was bigger than Cyclops. But for some reason in the Fox movies, Hugh Jackman, man, I don't know if it's just because it's him and his stars just shine so bright like a diamond, but, you know, Hugh Jackman just outshined everyone on the set. And then Halle Berry was Storm, so she definitely was right there as, you know, number two. I mean, it's not even close. So, like, I feel like Cyclops was, like, maybe fourth or fifth for importance, because, I mean, Magneto, Rogue, I mean, she had a very important storyline in the original X-Men series, so as far as the movies. So yeah, man, I don't know. I just thought, you know, just wanted to bring that up real quick. Yo, what is this about? So Kang the Conqueror is reportedly still the main villain of Avengers 5 and Avengers Secret Wars. Marvel Studios also wants to have another villain alongside Kang. That is via Daniel RPK. And bro, I'm gonna need, like, come on. I'm gonna need some confirmation on some of this stuff, because if that's the case, then who the hell is lying? You know what I mean? They've been saying this whole time that they were going to get rid of Jonathan Majors and Kang because Ant-Man flopped anyways. So do not just sit here and lie to the customers and the consumers and the fans, man. Are you keeping Kang or not? And then if you're going to keep Kang, man, if you're going to keep Kang, now we got to sit here and deal with all of this controversy, and whoever they get to replace him, all they're going to say is, nah, he wasn't better than Jonathan Majors. And I mean, come on. You know whoever they get to replace him isn't going to be better than Jonathan Majors. So come on. It's actually ridiculous. I really want them to just move on. But then if they just steady like that, then they probably got something really fire with Kang and they just don't want to let it go. And I get it. But if that's the case, man, keep the actor. If you're going to deal with the blowback anyway, you could have just kept the actor. I feel like for what he was charged with and for what was seen on camera, like, you know, I feel like he, it would have been, it's still, it's, it would have been uproar, but, you know, could have did one for the black community right there at Disney. No, I'm just playing. I'm just BSing. But yeah, that's what's going on with Kang the Conqueror. Let's get that out of here. It's being reported that Deadpool and Wolverine will introduce a new multiverse concept to the MCU. The concept: in every universe, there's one specific hero that if they die or get removed from their universe, that entire universe would vanish. Each universe has a different hero. I mean, I'm not mad at it if they want to try that, but that kind of sounds dumb as hell. Because not every hero is going to live forever, right? So you're saying once that hero, what if that hero just dies of old age? Like, does that mean the entire universe would vanish? It's kind of stupid, you know? And why would Loki let that happen? You know, that's another thing. Why would Loki, King Loki, let that happen? The god Loki, the god of stories Loki. Like, I don't think he's going to let that happen while he's sitting on his perch, you know, sitting on his throne. Uncomfortable throne, might I add. Or at least it looked like it. My man said, I finally know the god that I need to be. So keeping it with Marvel, Mr. Sinister is reportedly going to be the main antagonist in the MCU X-Men reboot. I'm super fine with that. Again, him in the comics, he was fire. And in the X-Men television series, he was super fire. I really liked his skill set. So, why the hell was that? I really liked his skill set. So I'm super good with that. I thought that was fire. I'm trying to get through these Marvel topics before I get too quiet on set, because that's going to be a big topic, obviously. J.K. Simmons says that despite appearing in Spider-Man No Way Home, he still hasn't met Tom Holland. That's super weird because they've been in two movies together. I mean, I get how they – I really don't understand it for No Way Home, because I get how that could happen, because they never actually were, like, in close proximity with each other. But it's just weird that you kind of wouldn't just hang around to see Tom Holland, or he wouldn't hang around set to see you. It's a little weird. Or you wouldn't even just want to pull up. If it's J.K. Simmons, I'm pulling up to see J.K. Simmons in action. That's just me. So X-Men 97 creator Bo DiMaggio was reportedly an absolute nightmare to deal with on a daily basis. Disney executives reportedly found his behavior on OnlyFans creepy. So I have no idea. I got to send this to the homie because this is hilarious. But I think this is hilarious. You know why? I don't want to say hilarious because I don't know what he was doing on OnlyFans. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's within the guidelines, but for you to even be on OnlyFans and you over here running the show, you created X-Men 97, but you got time to be freaky deaky on OnlyFans. Get him out of here. For one, an absolute nightmare on to deal with on a daily basis. I don't know what that means. He must just be a sassy ass dude. I mean, apparently he gay, so maybe he's just super sassy. But Bo DiMaggio, man, excommunicado, man. They had to get him up out of there. I'm not mad at it, bro. I'm telling you, with all of this stuff going on, get these freaks out of here. Anytime you see a motherfucker being proud of their freakness, and you should be proud of your freakness, but in your private time, like not in a professional setting and not when you are an executive producer of a Disney Plus Marvel show. You can't be on OnlyFans waxing your meat. And I don't know if that's what he did, but I'm just saying. So get Bo DiMaggio out of here. Him and Victoria Alonso got the boot. Like Louisiana got the boot. So this is still in the Marvel realm, but it's just kind of cool that Sydney Sweeney said this. So Sydney Sweeney says Madam Web was a building block for her. And she said it's what allowed me to build a Sony relationship. Without doing Madam Web, I wouldn't have had a relationship with the decision makers over there. Everything in my career, I do not just for that story, but strategic business decisions. Because I did that, I was able to sell Anyone But You. I was able to get Barbarella. So shout out to Sydney Sweeney taking the sorry ass roles like Madam Web to get ahead in life. You know, I don't even want to say, you know, you're bogging down on your integrity, man. If that's how you feel, you're like, bro, I'll take a shitty ass role just to come out on top in the future. I'm not mad at it, bro. It's like when you smash that ugly chick, but in the back of your head, you're like, I'm going to get with your friend for sure. Like, your friend, she really fired, but I'm just smashing you in the meantime. But when I get to your friend, we alone, man, it's going down, down, down. All right, so let's talk Quiet on Set. And, you know, they were billing this like it was about to be Surviving R. Kelly. You know, for Dan Snyder, it really wasn't. And I'm actually glad that it wasn't. You know, it did bring him to light as how much of a creep he was on set. How disturbing he was, arrogant, rude, asshole, I guess, narcissistic. I mean, any type of man that would be asking one of his employers for a massage is a creep, a piece of shit. You know, it's just, that's not a good thing to do. But, you know, for some reason, and I think I felt just a little, I just felt just a little bad for Dan Snyder, because, you know, I kind of felt like they was putting him out here. Like, I thought someone's about to say that he, like, was, he raped him, or, you know, he R-worded him. I'll say rape shit. That he raped him, or it was kind of like some type of allegation to, like, as far as being with a child. It really wasn't. It was just, I think he had a God complex. Obviously, he's a fat fuck. So when you look at him, and I'm not projecting, I'm just saying, I'm trying to psychoanalyze someone who's that fat and would be trying to get, like, massages from people, and particularly women, you know, on set. Like, that's just so, you got money, you're a millionaire, why can't you just get your own personal massage? Like, if you got that type of money, you should be able to have a personal assistant that just massages you all day. Like, that you hire for massages, you know, instead of asking the costume designer to rub your temples. Like, so I'm definitely not here to try to look out for Dan Snyder, but I'm not gonna lie, bro. The whole Drake Bell thing, you know, when he said Dan Snyder looked out for him, it did make me soften up on him just a little bit. Pause. It did make me soften up on him just a little bit. And he actually did explain that he never hired Brian Peck, none of that stuff. And he did say he didn't have control over the salary thing. So it was a couple things in there that, you know, I mean, I'm just going to take the man at his word. But it was a lot of, you know, non-excusable behavior. Now, one thing that I did have to say about this documentary, I do feel like some of the stuff that when I was watching it, like when a dude sneezed and the snot got on the girl's face, and they were saying like it was a, you know, a cum shot or whatever. I could see how you could say that, but I'm not gonna lie. Like, when I'm a kid and I'm watching that, I'm not even thinking about it. So maybe you just look at it as an adult and it looked crazy. But when you are a kid, because I was a kid watching these shows, I didn't look at it like that. Like, I never looked at any, the only weird thing I really looked at, and that's because I started getting a little older, I was like 12 or something, was that a SpongeBob episode when they was taking panties. But other than that, I really didn't look at too much crazy, like, stuff like that, and was like, oh my God. Now, when I did see them putting pickles through them holes, again, it's because I'm older, I'm like, damn, why did it like the glory hole? Like, dead ass, bruh. You know, so let's just talk about it from the beginning. So the main things, they had this, all of the kids coming in, because it really don't get heavy until episode 3, because I'm not trying to be rude or insensitive, but a lot of that stuff that I was listening to, I was like, yeah, that sound like the 90s. Like, things was totally, like, stuff was, like, totally different. You know, like, again, the whole massage thing, that was crazy. But, yo, when they had the black kid being a little fetus, bro, that shit was comedy. I was dying laughing. I know that sounds crazy, but I was laughing like a mug, especially when they said, oh, we need to make his skin charcoal. Oh my God, bro. I was dying. And I don't even know why that shit was funny, but I was laughing hard as hell. What was another one? There was a point where I did have a feeling about the on-air dares, because I didn't know that the on-air dares were real. You know what I mean? When I'm watching that show as a kid, I'm thinking that, well, I'm not even thinking about it, actually. Am I thinking, matter of fact, as a kid, I'm thinking it's real, but as an adult, I wouldn't think that that would be real. But to consider that they was eating scorpions and they had the black kid dressed up, or not dressed up, but covered in peanut butter, bro, some of that shit is funny as hell. Because I think about how I am, and I'm like, I just wouldn't let my kid do nothing crazy like that. You know, like, but then it's like, I don't know. I guess you just don't know until you're in that mode, or you have that moment where I guess your child could be famous. Like, what would you do for fame? Me personally, I just wouldn't sell my soul integrity for fame. I wouldn't do it. Like, somebody could be like, oh man, your podcast could take off, man. All you gotta do is give me some toppy real quick. Like, bro, we're not doing that. Like, what? I don't even think someone will ask me no shit like that, because I don't look like the type that you could say stupid shit to, you know? So I'm sitting here and I'm watching this documentary. And yeah, it was a lot of messed up stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is work. I get it. It's kids. And to me, it is a weird thing when I think about child actors, because it seems like they're the only people that are allowed to work in the country. That, like, you can start as a baby and be a child actor. But no other profession, I don't think you can work unless you're 16. You know what I mean? But for child acting, it's like you could be Amanda Bynes was 7, 8 years old. You know, when she started out, and she was a super smash hit. And I'm gonna keep it real, bro. I never knew Amanda Bynes. Like, can we go to the Amanda Bynes stuff? Because that was in the first episode. Let's go to the bookmarks. I know I got some Amanda Bynes stuff here. Yeah, I see Amanda Bynes. They got her under conservatorship, or at least she was, and she was under someone else's account. I mean, it's just tragic stuff. But in this show, they do show Amanda Bynes and how she started and how she was so close to Dan Snyder. And they really did paint it out to be nasty. And he was doing some nasty stuff, because, again, me personally, I'm trying to think, man. Like, I think being a stepdad, that's a little different. I definitely had stepkids. And, you know, I kind of feel like when you're in that mode, a stepkid to sit on your lap or something like that. I think Dan Snyder was super weird, because he was trying to treat Amanda Bynes like that was his daughter. You know what I mean? Like, at least from what I was seeing, you know, but she, for some reason, she was looking at him like that. She was like grabbing all on him and stuff like that. That's something that I'm not comfortable with. I wouldn't want to see that happening to my daughter. you know, but again, I just wouldn't allow that, you know, because you just, you, I don't know, man. No one would want to see that. So that's a little funny to me as far as, you know, what Dan Snyder was doing. I'm not here to absolve Dan Snyder, but I'm just saying there are, from what I've seen, there are no allegations towards Dan Snyder that he was like trying to fuck some kids. There are a lot of allegations where he was an asshole. He was just rude, snarky, doing stupid shit, but just not pedophilic shit. A lot of inappropriate jokes, for sure. A lot of inappropriate jokes, but I don't know, man. Pedophilia, that's such a strong jacket, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think we got to watch who we just put pedophilia on. And I believe this was before. So it was a parent in here. And I know people saying, like, you shouldn't parent shame and all of this crap. But, bro, I'm sorry. Can I find this? I wonder if it's on here. Let me see if I can find that. Because if my daughter tells me a grown man sent her a dick pic or a picture of him masturbating, bro, I'm not about to just take that. I'm like, that was so weird to me. Yo, one of the crazy things about this show too, they said the black kid that was on there, apparently they let him go. You know, and they was trying to say, like, it's because of the mom and shit. And apparently, like, him and his mom kind of stopped talking because, you know, he felt like his mom cost him the opportunity. But anyway, it was the part where this lady said that she felt like she was going to be a bad parent or she didn't want to ruin it for her daughter. And I'm like, man, forget all that. Like, and everybody's slamming Drake Bell mom as they should. But at least when she found out, like, she called the cops. This lady, bro, you going to send a picture of you masturbating to my daughter and tell her I sent you this because I'm thinking of you? And come to find out later, and, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but, you know, this is a deep topic, but, you know, this same guy is writing in his journal talking about, you know, I want to rape a little girl. I can't even believe it's people that think like this, to be honest. Like, I'm like such an, like, people who, I feel like people who rape women And rape little kids, bro. Like, first of all, I don't even understand how that's nothing less than a 15 to 20 year prison sentence. And second of all, that should be something where, like, you should die, because, like, something in your head is wrong. If you saying that you keep having these urges to want to have inappropriate relations with a minor, something is wrong in your head, bro. Like, I think we gotta, like get that up out you. Dead ass. Like, what is that about? So yeah, I don't understand how she just let that go. And apparently, I think he ended up, you know, having inappropriate relations with another young girl after that. So she might have could have saved a little girl, you know? All right, so let's really talk about the scathing part about this, all of this. So what was really crazy about all of this was what happened with Drake Bell. And this was a bomb that I'm not gonna lie, man. Yo, and I'm pretty sure this was already in the works, but when Cat Williams said the truth will be told, and you know, the truth before, he was not lying, because I haven't seen so much truth be told in a long time. This is like this is unprecedented, and for what happened with Drake Bell, totally inexcusable. Totally, I mean, again, that is why I had just a little bit of empathy for Dan Snyder, is because the victim of the show, all of these people, I get it, a lot of them, you know, a lot of them, you know, had to suffer with not being successful anymore. And that would be a crazy thing, you know, to have happen to someone. You know, you got to think, you over here looking at it like this. You over here looking at it like this. You like, okay, I'm over here popping. I'm a little kid. And then you start growing up and they kind of kick you to the curb. Because, I mean, we need little kids. You know, you're not who we need anymore. And they kick you to the curb. And that would be something really crazy, honestly, to have to really go through as a kid. And I hate that kids go through it, you know. But the true victim in this documentary is Drake Bell. Like, it's not even anything to talk about. Like, yeah, they made Ariana Grande, she did some inappropriate jokes, but unless she come out and say what happened to Drake Bell happened to her, like, Drake Bell is the real victim here. Let's kick this off, and we're gonna start with Drake Bell's dad, okay? That's what we're going to start it with, Drake Bell's dad and how he felt about Brian Peck, the man that took Drake's innocence.
You hear a scuttlebutt about the business and what you got to watch your kids and this and that. So I was very, very attentive. All the other parents would be seen and not heard, which I would never interrupt anything, but very rarely sat in the green room. I'd always be offset somewhere where I could always keep my eyes on Drake. And unfortunately, I started seeing Brian start to just hang around Drake too much. And it didn't set well with me. Drake would be in the dressing room or something, and in would pop Brian. And just touch Drake, you know, do things that, wait a second, what are you doing? Drake can put that on himself. And the thing is, this is in front of people. Mm. Then he'd maybe walk over to Drake and be feeding him some lines or whatever and put his arm around his waist, put his hand up on his shoulder and kind of run it down his arm and things like that. And this would happen routinely. Was just always uncomfortable.
Yo, that's crazy. And they trying to tell him that he wrong. So what the dad actually said, even after that, the dad actually said that when he brought it up to them, they was like, oh, well, you know, he's gay, so he's a little touchy-feely, you know, so maybe you're just homophobic. Like, excuse me? Excuse me? I don't even understand how he let that go on. You know, again, I get it. You trying to let your kid be in the business. But, bruh, y'all are parents. Like, you got to do what's best for your child. And You know, I don't like that it's really seemed like a lot of times these people aren't doing what's best for the kids.
Brian Peck, always being around my son. So I went to production and said, you know, I really am very uncomfortable with this guy, Brian Peck, always being around my son. I go, I don't see anything abnormal, but it just doesn't, I don't have a good feeling. And she goes, oh, well, I don't know if you knew it or not, but he's gay. Maybe you're just homophobic and you just, you know, you just don't understand that that's, he's a touchy-feely guy. So I said, okay. And then—
See, first just, of all, that's even more of a reason to be, to raise an eyebrow.
Sitting well with me.
He like so man, but
people on the set. And I was ostracized. So I went to production and said, you know, I really am very uncomfortable with this guy, Brian Peck, always being around my son. I go, I don't.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I don't understand that at all. You know, the fact that they even let that go is kind of crazy. So eventually, so this is what actually made me mad about the dad. So this was the one thing that made me mad about the dad is he said that Drake had a, I don't know, it wasn't a, was it a birthday party? I think he said he had a concert for his birthday or something like that. And Brian Peck showed up with his gay homies and they followed Drake around the entire time. And they left inappropriate messages in the cards, like the birthday cards. Okay, this is my thing. So after you already have a feeling and then you see his gay homies leaving inappropriate adult themed messages to your son, why don't you go check Brian Peck? That is my thing. Like, and I get it. You're trying to be civil, but nah, man. You know, because Drake has no blame in this. You know, we can talk bravado all you want, because I am going to talk it, you know, but I mean, come on, bro. And I'm not even saying it's the dad's fault, but it's just a little crazy to me. So let's really talk about what went on, like, from the horse's mouth. Let's hear it.
Whatever you feel comfortable or you think.
Why don't you do this?
Yeah.
Why don't you think of the worst stuff that someone can do to somebody as a sexual assault? And that'll answer your question.
I turned her over, you know, the bank account. I turned her over.
So I'm a man. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, yo, the worst thing is obviously oral, anal, and whatever else. And, you know, you know, I actually wrestled with this because I wanted to say what I want to say, but honestly, who cares? It happened. You know, my only thing was, you know, Drake Bell say he kept going back. Bro, I don't understand that. That's one thing I don't understand, and I'm not even trying to understand it. You know, maybe he was just psychologically beat the hell up. And obviously, he was so embarrassed that it happened. He wanted to just keep it under wraps. And I guess him keep doing it was keeping it under wraps, I guess. You know, but, you know, because the Brian Peck dude was able to break Drake up from his dad, you know, because obviously the dad was asking questions. And then he ended up saying that the dad was stealing from him, which was a farce, a lie, you know, and, you know, I just think it was a little crazy that this happened like this, you know, and it's so unfortunate, you know. Damn. I guess I wish Drake was a little bit taller. I don't know. Because this is a 41-year-old doing this to a 15-year-old. That's a big deal. Like, come on.
all kinds of paperwork that she needed to be able to help Drake's career. I said this to her in person. I said, but you never, ever leave Drake alone with Brian Peck, and you never let him be around him unsupervised, period, whatsoever. And Brian just absolutely tricked her.
Very, very quickly, Brian put himself in the position of what my dad was doing my whole life. My mom didn't want to drive to LA. She didn't like driving. So Brian would come and pick me up for auditions. I would end up staying the night because, well, I lived in Orange County and I would have auditions, and then it would be, you know, easier to drive me home the next day instead of driving me home and getting me home at midnight or whatever excuse, you know, he came up with. And he had pretty much worked his way into every aspect of my life. Everything changed with Brian one morning, and I woke up to him. I opened my eyes, I woke up, and he was,
Damn, he can't even say it.
He was sexually assaulting me. I froze and was in complete shock and had no idea what to do or how to react. I have no idea how to get out of the situation. You know, what am I gonna call my mom and be like, hey, this just happened, can you come pick me up? I'll just sit here and wait. I had no car, I didn't drive.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what you should have did.
This secret that I had held on to, and you know, I couldn't say I no longer wanted to go to Brian's house, because then they're gonna raise questions, well, why don't you wanna go to Brian's? And then,
yeah, man. You know, one thing that I really thought about too with this whole thing, you know, my parents instilled in me, no one should ever touch you. And if anyone ever touches you inappropriately, you let me know and we will handle it accordingly. Like, I don't, you know, clearly his parents failed him. You know, maybe the dad should have told him, like, when he was making inappropriate, like, hey, if this guy ever try you on some weird gay shit, hey, man, let me know so we can handle it. I don't even know how Brian Peck is still alive or why his dad haven't went to jail for beating the shit out of Brian Peck. Because, okay, you got 16 months. Oh, that's not good enough. When you get out, I'm going to catch you and I'm going to slide your bitch ass. You know, I don't get it, man. I do not get it. So let's talk about how Drake Bell ended up, you know, having all of this come out, because I was sitting here thinking, I was like, wow, Drake was a big superstar back then, but this all happened before Drake and Josh, which makes you kind of think, like, well, no, I think the chronological order that I seen it, I do kind of think they was going to do Drake and Josh anyways, and then this still kind of happened. But I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, you know, I'm like, how could they let this happen? You know, but anyways. So Drake, after he said this kept happening multiple times, you know, and he was sick of it, because I don't know if Drake himself was feeling like, well, I don't want to make a big deal because I still want to be on Nickelodeon. Because I'm telling you, man, like, you able to make decisions at these ages, I get it. And I'm not saying he isn't a victim. He is a super victim. Like, put a fucking cape on him. He's a super victim. That, I mean, 41 to 15, like, he outsmarted him. And, I mean, come on. Like, it's actually disturbing and disgusting. He did what he did to Drake Bell. And only got 16 months. But he's white! But, yeah, I just, you know, So him being at his girlfriend's house, because, you know, he was sick of what was going on. This guy called Drake Bell's cell phone about 50 times. He didn't answer. So this motherfucker, he was fiending for that little boy butt so bad. He started calling Drake Bell's girlfriend house. That is ridiculous. That is crazy. And he called that house another 40, 50 times. And then when she answered, she was like, yo, get the fuck out of here. And that's when the stepmom, or not the stepmom, but the girlfriend's mom was like, hey, what's going on here? And he was like, oh, he just be tripping. And she was like, nah, a 40-year-old man should not be calling a 15-year-old kid like that. What is going on? You know, and eventually he ended up lying. He even lied to the therapist, but then he spilled the beans to his mom later. And mom Dukes called the cops and, you know, got him up out of there. And, you know, I'm glad for him that, you know, that happened, you know, because he honestly, I don't even understand how he was able to get away with that. I don't even understand how he was able to get away with it. Because to me, if he was able to do 16 months for raping a kid, you got away with it. Like, I think taking a child's innocence is at least minimum a 15-year sentence. Is it that common? Because when I watched that movie, they said America is the home of the pedophiles. So is it that common that they don't give you a lot of time on the first offense? Because I don't get it. I never had, like, urges for a child. You know what I mean? Like, for that guy to have to write in his journal, like, oh, my God, I'm craving it so bad. Like, you know, these people are crazy. Oh, man. Another thing that was crazy about Brian Peck is that he had letters, like he was a pen pal with John Gacy, you know, and John Wayne Gacy. And John Wayne Gacy was actually famous for being a serial butt raper of men, little boys actually, and burying him in his walls in his home. You know what I mean? And obviously this guy, Brian Peck, like, come on, man. I just don't understand. But again, a lot of these parents, they be complicit. I said the same thing with the R. Kelly stuff. It's the same thing with this, like a lot of these parents, they be complicit. I'm not saying that, you know, Drake's father was complicit. The mom, I don't even think she was complicit. She was just oblivious. You know, the father wasn't complicit. He was just an idiot, because I would have pressed Brian Peck way long, like way before. Just for, bro. Let me see. I wonder if they got the Brian Peck and Leonardo DiCaprio footage. Yo, look at this shit. This is Brian Peck with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Brian is the famous artist, and we always make fun of each other and portray each other in silly.
Now this is a little crazy.
We draw drawings of each other.
Because he did grab Brian Peck first.
We always make fun of each other and portray each other in silly, satirical ways.
Leo's job on the set
for some reason is to make fun of me. Chest.
Leo, as you know, is the latest, hottest, hunkiest teen idol there is.
Yeah, muscles.
Look, speaking of hunky, huh?
Oh, you see him? Brian. We draw drawings of each other. Brian is the famous.
Yeah, man. Brian Peck was a weirdo. So this is after everything came out. And Drake Bell this happened, and then he went on to do, you know, Drake and Josh, and you know, that's like he really wanted to be on Drake and Josh. That's why I was kind of like, you know, I don't think if a kid knows what they want to do, should you punish them because they're pedophiles out there? I don't think you should as a parent. You know, I think you have to do your best to protect your kids, and you have to really be there and really fight for them. And the kid has to be that talented to go through the hoops. You know, they got to be that talented. So let's talk about this Drake Bell on attending Brian Peck's sentencing.
It was a different time, so I think it was a little easier to go to and from a courthouse and not worry about Twitter that night or TMZ paparazzis being there.
Because I was wondering
sentencing
that.
For Brian. I get I to like, the courthouse.
How the hell did this go on?
It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen.
And this wasn't like a big story.
His entire side of the courtroom was full. Full. There were definitely some recognizable faces on that side of the room. And my side was me, my mom, and my brother. Brian had been convicted, but getting all of this support from a lot of people in the industry, and yeah, I was pretty shocked. My mom got up, she had a statement. I wasn't going to address Brian. There was no reason to. I addressed my statement to everyone in the room. I looked at all of them. And I just said, how dare you? And I said, you will forever have the memory of sitting in this courtroom and defending this person. And I will forever have the memory of the person you're defending violating me and doing unspeakable acts and crimes. And that's what I'll remember.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Oof, I really hate that my man's Drake Bell had to go through that. Man, that's so sad to see, you know. You hate to see that shit. That is not okay. You know, because I did, like, only why I just said that because I remember being 15. And, like, I don't know, maybe it's just something about, like, growing up black or something. Because, bro, when I was 15, bro, we used to do so much tough shit, like hitting on random people, like getting into gang fights. Like, so I just couldn't imagine going through no shit like that. But I really hate that, you know, I really hate that Drake Bell had to go through that. But I'm glad he was able to, you know, that's why I was so happy that, you know, Daniel Snyder didn't do no crazy thing to him, you know, because, you know, I think that was important, you know. Because come on, bro. If he said, think about the most unspeakable things that you can do to someone, bro, as a man, I mean, that's just man or woman. Like, man or woman, but especially as a man, bro. Motherfucker put they, I ain't even gonna talk about it. But again, I was younger than Drake Bell was at the time. So, I mean, I'm not about to sit here and like be like that because I was younger than him. Like, Drake Bell is how old? I mean, he's 37. I'm 32. So when that was happening with him, I was like 9 or 10. And even then, I wouldn't let no shit like that happen to me. Like, so that's kind of crazy. But salute. But again, you know, my parents, especially my dad, bro, they didn't play that shit. They didn't even let us, like, it would be nights where we would stay the night at my grandparents' house. Like, my grandma and my dad would get off of work, come home, see that we're not at home, and come pick us up. Like, and, you know, nothing wrong with my mom doing that because that's her mom. But my dad, he just never played that type of shit. Like, he was not okay with that because it's creepy people out here, you know? It's creeps out here, man, that's trying to fuck your kids, you know? So you should be as cautious as possible. All my dads out there, if your daughter may think you being too overbearing, man, you might not be overbearing enough. Like, seriously, people are trying to fuck your kids. And again, this is why I had no sympathy, you know, for I had no sympathy for James Gunn because I don't think pedophilia is funny at all. You know, he made them pedophile jokes. So I really didn't have a problem with it, you know. Let me actually go to my bookmarks. Because my man's from NAS Declassified. I don't even know why they was giving it up like this. It was actually pretty weird. But again, I kind of think it's just a man thing, bro. Like, we all older men, so we kind of just be like, nah, not me. I wouldn't let that type of shit happen to me. But listen to my man's name from NES Declassified School Survival Guide. He was like really giving it up.
Coming.
Daniel, we told you never to speak about that. Get back in your hole, Daniel, and give me your holes. Sorry, we shouldn't joke about this. We really shouldn't.
Yeah, this is awful. Why are we doing this?
Because this is about us. Listen, our set was not like that. And no, it's fucking awful. The Drake Bell shit is that's crazy to hear. I that is fucked, man. And that never came out, which is really wild. Really wild.
I'll tell you who was talking about it.
Boop.
Boop.
Okay.
Oh, so y'all were in on it. Oh, God.
Damn.
Wow. I'm not talking about this anymore.
No, not talking about this.
Who the hell is Daniel? No.
Guys, we can't joke like this. Jesus. Guys, we're sometimes humor helps us move through things,
yeah,
you know?
100%.
We need Missy on the pod.
Coming.
Daniel, we told you never to speak about that. Get back in your hole, Daniel, and give me your holes. Sorry, we shouldn't joke about this. We really shouldn't.
Yeah, this is awful. Why are we doing this?
Because this is about us. Listen,
I'm a little confused because who the hell is Daniel? Like, Drake Bell, the one was getting his hole taken. So I'm like, who the hell is Daniel? Like, I'm not. Because he apologized. I think I got the apology. You know, this whole thing is messed up, man. I was dead about this, bro. I couldn't believe that happened to my mans. Like, I used to really watch Drake and Josh, just not like, I didn't watch it to the point where I, like, really care about it to watch it now. So, Devin Werkheiser, which is the guy from NES Declassified, He said, I was being an idiot today. No way around it. I feel horrible that my dumbass was even speaking about this without seeing it. I watched Quiet on Set tonight, and I'm horrified by the gravity of what Drake and others shared. Truly heartbroken about what my fellow actors went through. I can't believe they weren't protected. I'm sorry for compounding any hurt. Yeah, so at least he cleared it up. Again, I don't know who Daniel is. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe they was just like playing, and then I actually believe that. Like, because I'm telling you, bro, people joke about that shit all the time. Like don't nobody want to get their butt taken, man. So people like talk about that a lot. And anyone who thinks that taking a child's butt is okay, I'm not rocking with. Especially because that's why I said he was 15, so he was still a child, man. Like, no matter what I feel about it, as a man myself, like being a 15-year-old, like, it's still not okay. That's not okay. Like, even though, yeah, I'm like, I remember being 15, like, but still, bro, like, you still 41. I know how I am at 30. Well, how old am I? 32. I'm way smarter than a 15-year-old. Like, a 15-year-old can't tell me he's smarter than me. So, I mean, come on, bro. That shit's messed up.